Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now look at this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So now we want to talk about, how do I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this sin of offense that's inside of me? So I'm going to give you something that hopefully will be easy to remember. It's the word fall, and this is what it stands for. The cure for offense is fall. Forgive, ask for help, live in the present, and lay it down. All right? So forgive, ask for help, live in the presence, and lay it down. How do I get rid of my offenses? The first thing you have to do is forgive. Now, the Lord gave me something that is absolutely brilliant, and I want to give it to you. Forgiveness is not minimizing the pain or excusing the person. Amen, Pastor Chris? The Lord gave this to me. Forgiveness is not ignoring the problem or pretending that it's okay. Amen, Pastor Chris? The Lord gave this to me. Forgiveness is not forgetting about what happened. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Forgiveness is not, and this is what I always thought it was, but I was wrong, reconciliation. Because you forgive does not mean you're going to ever get reconciled with that person, and you might not want to get reconciled with that person. You might just rather forget it and move on. Man, how many of you know there's some people that just don't belong in your life anymore? They just don't. You gotta move on without them. So forgiveness is not an Oprah Winfrey reunion. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not the immediate restoration of trust. Doesn't mean that I forgive you, now I can trust you. No, you can forgive people and still not trust them. Forgiveness is not the immediate restoration of trust. Rebuilding trust is a process. Here is what forgiveness is. And the Lord gave this to me. It's wonderful. Forgiveness looks like this: recognizing the humanity of the person who hurt you. There were some people in my life that I could not forgive for a long time. My wife knows exactly what I'm talking about. Two people in my life I could not forgive for a long time until the Lord put me on an assignment that I didn't even want to do. I had to write something for a book. And I didn't want to do it. And they asked me to do it, and I thought, if I don't, you know, I needed to do it. So I wrote something, and when I wrote that for that book, for the very first time in my life, ever in my life, I saw their pain. I'd never even considered their pain. I only knew the pain they caused me. And the first time in my life, and that was healing for me. The fact that I could recognize the humanity in them set me free. I knew I wasn't perfect, but I thought they did a lot of things they did on purpose, and they didn't. Sometimes you're doing the best you can do, and you don't have the tools to do it right. So sometimes your healing comes when you recognize, that's forgiveness, the humanity of the person. Forgiveness looks like this: remembering how much you've been forgiven by God. Boy, that one hits me right between the eyes. God, if you can forgive me, that's what the Lord's Prayer ends with, you know. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, and forgive us our, and you know the rest of it, right? Lead us not into trespasses, but forgive us as, somebody help me out. I say this every week at Global Prayer. I lead this prayer in the beginning of Global Prayer. Let me say it slow. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Who knows the next verse? The next verse says, Your heavenly Father, if you do, no, it says this, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you for your trespasses. That's the next verse. So God, you're going to forgive me the way I forgive them. I didn't write it, I'm just reading it. Remembering how much God has forgiven me makes it much easier for me to forgive somebody else. Here's the next thing that forgiveness looks like that the Lord gave me. Relinquishing your right to get even. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, don't you know if you could just get even, you'd think you'd feel better. Has anybody ever gotten even and you didn't feel better? You thought it would do something that it just didn't do? That's the lie. That's the part of the ensnarement. No, you're relinquishing your right to get even. Lord, this is what I have to say. God, you're the judge. I'm not the judge. You'll do what's right. It's not up to me to bring any justice. It's up to you to bring justice, and I trust you to bring justice. Here's the next thing that forgiveness looks like. Responding to evil with good. I know I've forgiven when I can do something good for you. And I've forgiven when I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to be my friend, maybe. I don't even want you to have my email address. But I just can now say, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord let his light shine on you and be gracious to you. Maybe I can say that now. And I've gotten beyond the point of, oh, God, rain down great balls of fire from heaven, destroy their crops. And, you know, maybe I've gotten beyond that part. I know I'm the only one that's ever prayed a prayer like that, but I have, although I'll be honest, I have. And here's another thing that forgiveness looks like, repeating the process as long as many times you have to. That means I forgave you, but now I'm here again. I got to do it again. I thought it was over, but the enemy's brought it back up, so I'm going to go through it again. I forgive you in Jesus' name. Have you ever had to pray the prayer of forgiveness more than once over the same thing? That's what you have to do to get free. All right, that's the F. The others are very short. Ask for help. You have 10,000 teachers. That's what the Lord promised you. You have 10,000 instructors in Christ. In Christ. And you also have fathers and mothers. You have books. You have media. You have resources. You have counselors. You have to ask for help. Don't try to do it on your own. You may not make it. Ask for help. Fall. Forgive. Ask for help.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
The next L. Boy, Faith and I practice this one, and we talk about this a lot. Live in the present, not the past. That means if I'm upset, I can't be upset about something that happened 10 years ago. I'm upset about something that just happened 10 minutes ago. That's okay. If I'm living in the present, but what I can't do is bring up something from 10 years ago to make my point for something that happened 10 minutes ago. That's what I can't do. So I have to get current. I have to live in the present. What does the Bible say about Christians? Old things are what? Well, if God said that, why are we doing it? Perry preaches a great sermon on fishing in the sea of forgiveness. I'll never forget that. The sea of forgiveness, rather. I'll never forget that sermon, fishing in the sea of forgiveness, and that God says there is a punishment for it. So if God says let go of the past, old things are passed away, we have to do that. Here's the next thing. You have to say, this is the phrase I use for myself. That was then, this is now. That's what I say. It's not the same. That was then. That was something else. That was somebody else. This is now. This is who I am now. This is who we are now. This is what our life is now. That was then. This is now. I'm going to live in the now. I can't live in the then. Because you're different. Everybody's different. And then lay it down is the last one. I want to ask the musicians to come. Many years ago, I was leading a men's retreat in St. Louis. In this men's retreat, we dealt a lot with forgiveness. And that's not the easiest topic among men. You know, guys, we're tough exteriors. We live on the surface. We don't really open up a lot easy. We don't open up easily, even at home sometimes. It takes a lot to get us to really be vulnerable. You know, that's the man's world. You just have to, you know, girls are given dolls to hug and hold. We're given guns and trucks when we're kids. Tells us you're going to have to protect people the rest of your life and work. So we grew up with that mindset. We don't grow up with holding baby dolls and doing domestic things in the playhouse kitchen. That's not how we work. And a guy, it's competition. If you're 2 years old, your daddy wants you to outrun the other two-year-old. You know what I'm saying? It's true. You got to climb. My boy can climb that tree faster than your boy. My grandfather put a set of boxing gloves on me and put me in a ring with three other boys and said, you whip them or I'm going to whip you. I gave it all I had. I don't know who won that fight, but I'm telling you what, I went out there swinging with everything I had. My grandfather did that to me. So guys aren't the easiest guys to open up. We've been taught to build walls. We're at this men's retreat. We're talking about, you know, getting rid of your past. I gave some illustrations of things I've done in my life. You've heard me tell my story of the journal and putting it in the dumpster and things like that. Well, this particular retreat, we were out by a lake, out over in Illinois, Carlisle Lake. And every man had a set of smooth stones, like five smooth stones. We talked about David and talked about these smooth stones and killing your Goliath. And everybody had a magic marker beside of it. What we ask them to do is write the names of people they need to forgive or incidences that they need to forgive on those smooth stones. So they wrote those down, and we went out to the end of a dock, and there was probably 100 men or maybe more at this retreat. And so we waited, and the idea behind it was you walk down to the end of the dock, you throw your stones, and when you come back, all the men cheered. That's what we did. No one said a word when you walked down there. It was very quiet. You walked down there, you took all the time you want, and we'd see these big guys, and they'd throw those stones. Some of them had several stones. I won't say this person's name because he watches me, and I'm still in touch with him a lot, but he knows who he is, and this is a part of his story. I was a young guy, and I knew his childhood story. It wasn't a good story. I knew the brokenness inside of him over and over and over by all kinds of people. This kid was talented and smart, but broken. And I'll never forget him walking out to the end of that dock, and he took a stone, and right before he threw it, he dropped to his knees and began to weep so loud, every man heard it. He couldn't throw it. He cried like a child. This is a big dude. He cried like a little boy. It was like all the brokenness inside of him was coming out. And we thought he would get up, but he didn't. He knelt there. Next thing I know, he is laying flat. There's still other guys waiting to throw their stones, but this guy hasn't gotten up. And I saw something that day that I'll never forget as long as I live. Several men that were his friends walked down to that dock, and they picked him up, and they hugged him and held him. And then they said, let me help you throw this stone. And they put their hand in his hand, and they threw those stones. And he collapsed again on the floor. And they said, don't worry, brother, we got you. And they picked him up and carried him off that dock while 100 men cheered because he was able to lay it down. It was one of the most powerful deliverance moments I've ever witnessed in my life. know this. I hate to use this illustration after that illustration, but it's one you'll get. And honestly, I don't know the words to this song. I just know this line of it. A famous Disney song that I've heard my granddaughter sing calls it Let It Go. And they can sing it to the top of their lungs, and they know every word. I don't know every word, but I can sing let it go, and then I'm lost. I don't know. It's kind of like when I quote the Lord's Prayer real fast. You know, it just, I have to slow it down to remember it. So I'm hearing my granddaughter singing this song, and they tell me it's from a show called Frozen. And I said, what does it mean? If you don't let it go, Papa, you'll get frozen. I said, man, that's a sermon if I've ever heard one. If you don't let it go, you will get frozen.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.